Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Welcome back into another edition of College Golf Talk. Burko and Brentley with you. We're nearing the middle of October, Brentley. It's scary to think, and I say it each and every fall season, we're on the back half of the fall campaign. Some teams have already wrapped up their fall seasons, or if not, will do so in the next week or two. But I know October 15th, we're on the cusp of that day. How you start. That's how you started off the rundown. Why are you anxiously waiting for October 15th? Because April 15th is tax day, so this isn't like half tax day, is it?
Hey, am I the only one who typically is pretty excited about tax day? Because it always means you're getting a big check in the mail or direct deposited.
I wish I could subscribe to that same philosophy.
Okay, well, then maybe I should just shut up. But, you know, October 15th, it's a big day. It's the release of the very first highly anticipated Spike Mark ranking. So whether we get one or not and how good it is or how bad it is, that's to be determined. But I know I'm not the only one that's very anxious for Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be a morning release or an evening release or what, or if it's going to get released at 11:59 at night so no one sees it. I'm intrigued, but I did notice that on Spike Mark's website, Burko, they used to have this very in-depth explanation of the ranking, and now that page seems to be down. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You've been all over this story, and as we've said in previous pods, we're all for it. We all love college golf. If you're listening, you're a fan of in some capacity. But let's not sugarcoat it. It has been a disaster from the get-go. What do you think the prospects are? And they're seemingly progressing in the right direction. What do you think that on October 15th, we actually see not only some type of ranking system, but one that truly encompasses what it should be?
That's such a hard question, Burko, to answer, because I honestly have no idea. And I wouldn't be surprised at anything, I'll put it that way. But I just have a hard time getting on board with a ranking that doesn't factor in, or at least doesn't seem like it will be factoring in, what the NCAA committee has gone off of for years and what Golfstat had built its ranking around. And that's just pure head-to-head stroke differential. The bucket of points method has been tried before. It's failed before. Mark Lash, at the very early stages of Golfstat, realized that type of ranking was not going to work, which led to the ranking that we had seen the last couple of decades. But I'm very skeptical, but like you said, it's got to work. It's got to work well, and I hope it does. I need to see it first.
Yeah, we'll certainly talk about that next week, hopefully all in a very positive light. A lot of good golf since we last convened, one or the other, right? It makes sense, I think. Stevens Cup, year three, inaugural event. We were at the Aleutian Club in Arkansas last year. Down at Seminole this year, Trinity Forest in the Dallas area. We'll start with the ladies. Boy, the defending national champs look good, look solid. Wake Forest picking up the win, you know, the 54 holes of stroke play, scattered through 2 days into a day of match play. It's just the fall. It's just mid-October. They look like they're poised right now to be one of those teams making it to match play and maybe a deep run of going back to back.
Yeah, this is a team that we obviously knew was going to have to replace not only the on-the-course measurables, but the immeasurables as well, the leadership capabilities of Emilia Migliaccio and Lauren Walsh, in addition to, I think it was 12 combined top 10s, if I did the math correctly, from last year. So that was always going to be a challenge. But I did know that Wake and their coaches, Kim Llewellyn and Ryan Potter, were very high on this freshman, Macy Pate. And she's factored in the lineup all four events now. She won her anchor match, ended up getting that decisive point in the final against Texas. Very impressed by the way Wake was able to close stroke play, climb a couple spots into that championship match. And unlike last year, they can leave with the match play victory. So this is a team that, and we talked about it on the pregame show a couple days ago, but this is a team that may have lost a lot, but you certainly can't count them out considering that everyone else in the country had to replace some sort of level of talent.
Yeah, 3-2 victory for Wake Forest over Texas. Those two teams tied through stroke play, so one or two seed, however you want to look at it. But, yeah, you continue to see what Coach Murphy's done at Texas, talented lineups through the years. You know, I wonder, is this the season where we see that breakthrough deep in the match play to try to pay off the talent that you've got in Bentley Cotton and Bo Park and Lauren Kim, who won individually? I mean, a lot of good players in Austin.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but there's got to be some sort of luck involved for Texas to win a national title this year. And the reason I say that is I look at luck as Coach Murphy's just going to have and hope for all these players, or at least most of them, firing at the same time and peaking at the right time, because there's not in this lineup, there's not a Rachel Keene or an Ingrid Lindblad. There's not like a clear-cut stud who you really feel comfortable that's going to bring it every day. But that said, very, very deep, very, very solid. He's certainly going to have a lot to choose from once we get into the postseason. He left some very good players at home. And I'm really high on a couple of these freshmen that Coach Murphy has. And Lauren Kim, she won the Canadian Women's Amateur this summer. Farrah O'Keefe qualified for the U.S. Women's Open, and then the next week went out and made the quarters of the girls junior. So these are two players who may not have, you know, have garnered all the headlines as junior golfers, but we're certainly going to be seeing a lot more of them. And obviously we did that this week with Lauren Kim getting the individual title.
Stanford women, a good week, not a great week. You and I try to knock on some doors, get a sense of where was Rachel Heck as she wasn't in the lineup. We truly never got any response of
don't know.
Tangible credibility. And we'll leave that as such. She wasn't in the lineup. Without Rachel Heck in that lineup, and I said it before we came on, Stanford's just a good team, maybe a really good team, and usually really good teams don't win at all. Don't want to get caught up in 1 3-day event, but it does make you wonder, why is this she's dealt with injuries, she's dealt with health concerns. By no means am I speculating anything. Let's just go back a step. Without Rachel Heck in that lineup, Stanford is a top 10 team, maybe a top 5 team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think people will want to point to last spring where she only played one round the entirety of that semester, but that Stanford team had Rose Zhang. I mean, she was the ultimate eraser. It didn't matter what four other players you trotted out there with her. She was going to put your team in a good position to win. I still think Stanford is a match play team potentially without Rachel Heck. I would assume that she'll be in the lineup by the time we get to the postseason in May, but you never know. I think there are some other injury concerns. I mean, Caroline Sturza has had back injury, serious back injury in the past. So you just kind of wonder, can this team stay healthy? And I think the answer is if they can't, we're probably not seeing them win an NCAA team title. But if they can, I mean, Mega Gane has already won this fall. Sadie Engelman took a huge step forward. Kelly Hsu had a semi-breakout summer. And this freshman, Paula Martín San Pedro from Spain, a lot of the headlines are on her countrywoman, Cata Fernandez Garcia Pollo, but she's really good too, and she had a really good week this week. So Stanford still has the horses. They're going to need some things to go their way health wise.
Yeah, and you never doubt, especially in October, what Ann Walker as a head coach has done there for a decade. But we talk about it weekly, and that's something that certainly jumped off the page for both of us, from the women to the men at the Stevens Cup. Great week for Tiger Christensen from Arizona. FSU and those Wildcats battling it out in that championship match. Impressive showing from Florida State. I think you and I have always felt like, okay, they're good. They could be really good. Can they make that jump up? Maybe this is the season. But sort of for both those programs, I think they leave this year's Stevens Cup feeling pretty good about what their squads are halfway through the fall season.
This has been the DNA, I think, of Arizona, in that it's been very up and down the last few seasons for them. But when they're good, they're really good. I mean, you don't have to go too far back, two seasons ago, where they were 11th at the Pac-12s and then turn around and win an NCAA regional. Last year, they beat a lot of really good teams, including their eventual national champion, Florida Gators, at the NIT. And then another very good week this week. So Jim Anderson's done a great job. He's had to replace some talent. I think Tiger is a star in the making. And then on the flip side, Florida State, you could say it's been a disappointing fall, but they've yet to be at full strength. They finally got Frederick Ketrup back in the lineup after three tournaments off. He's going to head right to the World Amateur Team Championships, where two of his teammates, Tyler Weaver and Jack Bigham, the Walker Cupper, already are. They missed the Stevens Cup. So Trey Jones, this is a perfect opportunity for him to get some guys' experience, like a Gray Albright, who opened, I believe he opened in 65 at Trinity Forest. So he's just getting some experience throughout the lineup in case he needs it. I have a feeling that once we get to about mid-March, Florida State's really going to be rolling.
We talked about some question marks for the women of Stanford. Same with the men, you know, indifferent performance. And no knock on the guys in the lineup, but without Michael Thor Bjornsson, they're almost very similar to Rachel Heck. They're just not the same team.
Yeah, and both really great players. I would argue that Thor is a bigger loss at this point, just because we're talking about a guy who was number one in PGA Tour University until this week. He should have been a Walker Cupper, but the stress fracture in his back took him out of that. This is a guy who finished fourth in a PGA Tour event in the past year and a half. So he's one of the best players in college golf, maybe one of the top two or three, depending on who you ask. So I did catch up with Conrad Ray, the head coach of Stanford, last week, and just asking for an update on Thor's progress. And there's still not a definitive timetable to when he'll be back competing. I think the hope is at some point early to mid spring season, that could be a possibility, but he's going to start swinging the golf club again in early December and kind of see how it goes. But he did say that his progress is ahead of schedule. And this was a big week too, though, on the health front for another Cardinal, though, Berko. I wrote a story about this earlier this week. Jake Bieber-Frankel, for those who don't know who he is, he was part of that 2020 signing class with Thor Bjornsson and Carl Phillips, was an AJGA All-American. He's the son of David Frankel, who's the Hollywood director who directed Devil Wears Prada. And I would assume, Berko, that this might be a Burkowski household favorite movie, but Marley and Me, have you seen it?
Oh, have I seen it? I caught the second half of it flipping around in recent weeks, and I will own it by the end of it. I'm absolutely bawling.
Oh, it's the saddest movie. And Jake actually says he hasn't seen it in quite a long time because it's just too sad for him to watch. But he didn't really have the kind of the greatest start to his college career. It was during the pandemic. He was struggling with his game. But then last May, early May, after playing in the Western Intercollegiate at Pasatiempo, a couple weeks after that, he woke up and he had some numbness in his hands. He couldn't move his right arm, and he was diagnosed with a wing scapula, which is kind of a nerve neurological issue that affects the muscles and causes the shoulder blades. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to get too into the details, but it's been a very tough 18 months on Jake. Finally got into the lineup, closed in 67, was the low man on the team. So hats off to Jake Bieber-Frankel this week, on getting back in and playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's a really good article. If you guys haven't seen it, another well-written piece by you, and kind of puts it in perspective. As much as we love college golf, golf sports honestly pales in comparison to people's well-being, health, and truly what matters. We go to the Williams Cup, in North Carolina. Tar Heels getting the job done, beating Auburn. Really good team. You pose the question, who's better, them or Vandy? And initially I say yes. Yeah, because I'm pretty much seeing what I wanted to see from both of those schools the first 6-7 weeks of this new campaign. Of they're in the mix. They battle one another when they're in the same field. For the most part, they take care of business when they're not at the same tournament. No disrespect to Arizona State or anyone else. Sign me on the dot. I mean, I will go into the bank account. You can go get your IRS tax refund that you're so proudly deserve. I want to see these two teams in that championship match. And I say it because it truly reminds me of Texas and Bama from 11 years ago when you had Spieth and you had Thomas, and they were clearly the two best teams in the country. One dominated the fall, one dominated the spring. I think we have the possibility for these two teams to separate and just sort of say, we're going to go win 4 or 5 times. We're going to go win 4 or 5 times. We're going to have multiple All-America selections. And we know we need to get some luck to have that actually come to fruition. But they're right there. It truly is a toss-up for me.
Do you think any of these extra IRS agents listen to College Golf Talk? Maybe I shouldn't openly talk about I might get popped.
R-O-M-I-N-E, Romine. What do you think? If you had to say it right now, middle of October, I truly think they're right there. I can make an argument either way and have no problem about it.
I mean, I'm going to give the slight edge to Vanderbilt just only because of the head-to-head at Colonial getting that very slim victory. But at the same time, Auburn beat Vanderbilt at the SEC preview. UNC just beats Auburn handily. So it's one of those things that I think I can safely say that these are the two best teams. I mean, Auburn would probably get mad at me. My wife would probably get mad at me. But I do view them as just maybe a half a tier lower. But this is the collision course, like you said. I think the only question is who's Jordan Spieth and who's Justin Thomas. Are we saying Gordon Sargent's playing the role of Jordan Spieth and maybe David Ford?
Yeah, it's not the freshman. And when I said that, I'm like, it's not quite the perfect comparison.
It's close.
But
North Carolina's got like 4 Justin Thomases.
Yeah, it's the alpha dog. You know, whether it's Ford or Greaser, it's promising moving forward, which I think excites all of us. You throw out the fact the defending champs, the Gators, Luke Poulter leading the way, tied for the 11th, and you said, well, what is the state of the Gators? And I caught up with J.C. Deacon, the Florida head coach, earlier today, and he's like, it's there. There's possibilities. They got a lot to learn, and it's really up to Dudley and him and JC to coach him up. We're going to see another different lineup from them in their next event. But with Luke Poulter leading the way, and I asked JC, what's been your biggest surprise personnel-wise, good and bad? And he said, Luke Poulter is an absolute stud.
Yeah, surprising. I mean, not super surprising, but just based on, it's kind of the John Daly the second storyline. Just hadn't gotten any run. Comes out of nowhere. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. John Dubois has been in and out of the lineup. He had been such a solid fixture behind the big three, but the big three aren't there anymore. Castillo, Yushin Lin, Fred Biondi, you know, times change. So I'll be curious to watch the development, the fallbacks, because they're going to have it, and how you respond. So, you know, I thought going into the season it was going to be challenging. JC reiterated that, but he said there is promise there, which is all you want to hear about. You've got kids that, other than Dubois and Matthew Kress with some experience, like, there are some youngsters getting sort of thrown to the wolves, and they're going to get beat up. And I think they'll continue to get beat up a little bit, but can you get better? Can you learn and hopefully find your way in the spring?
And they always have that national championship trophy to look on in the golf house.
Nick Gabrelsik, I love it. We got five there in Gainesville. Gabrelsik, co-medalist with David Ford, two Walker Cup teammates. Nick Gabrelsik, another name maybe that doesn't get the run he deserves, wrapping up his time at the University of North Florida. I get a kick out of seeing the great ones, the very good ones, play golf, win tournaments, and show everyone just how ready they are for the next level. Quick pivot, Big 12 match play, Texas beating Baylor 4-1 in the final. You said, is Texas a top five team? Question mark. Not there yet, in my opinion, probably 6 through 10. But the young kids from a year ago finding their footing. And I think that's a good sign if you're head coach John Fields.
And they do it without Tommy Boy in the lineup too. So I think that Fields showing off a little bit of depth. Good to see Nathan Petronzio. I believe he went 4-1 along with Brian Stark this week. So the SMU transfer finally getting his footing in Austin. And I think I'm with you. I mean, if they're not five right on the nose, they are in that 6 to 10 range, which, I mean, when the season ended last year, I don't think we could have predicted that. So definitely surprising.
And then OU beating Tech for fifth. Concerns for you if it's
for both? Yeah,
exactly. I was gonna say for either program, what worries you maybe about the lack of inconsistency, maybe is the best way to phrase it, with this new season.
Yeah, I think it's different for both teams. We'll start with Texas Tech. I think you know what you have at the top of the lineup with Callum Scott. I mean, he has the potential to be, I don't want to say a first team All-American, but at least an All-American of some sort. And it's just depth, I think, for the Red Raiders. And then on the flip side, you know, Hibble's got a lot of depth in Norman right now, but I don't know if he's really had a guy like Drew Goodman step up consistently yet. And I know he's probably grinning from ear to ear, seeing how Luke Kluver's played so far this fall after kind of being forgotten about since transferring from Kansas. So I think I'm more concerned about Texas Tech. Oklahoma, they have a lot of depth. It's just going to be, can Drew Goodman make more putts? Can he be the player, the top 15 player in the country that I think he can be? And can one of those freshmen step up? Ryder Cowan played the Big 12 match play. PJ Maybank's got the chops. I mean, we've seen what he's done in amateur competition as a high schooler. So the pieces are there for Oklahoma. It's just they have time, right? But it's going to be a matter of figuring out who are going to be the five. Because I do believe that at some point early in the spring, you got to have a good core. If not five guys, you got to have a solid four that you can say, look, you're going the rest of the way, like, get it together. Cause you can't play musical chairs in late April. I don't think that works.
UCF, work to do. big move in conferences, and
pour one out for the Knights. 14th. Only won one match too. Oh my gosh.
Be careful what you wish for, right? It's good to be part of a power.
It was a football conference. Move, Burko. Come on, it was all always, football. The Gus bus, a football move. Gus bus has a flat tire right now, but they're going to get rolling again. Give it time. Give it a few years, and mark my words. In the next 5 years, UCF will win a Big 12 title in football.
Because the best two teams are leaving.
Oh, you could say that. But still.
All right. That is the fact. The best two teams will be in the best conference in the land next year.
I mean, I don't disagree there. So,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. The women, they had it going in Tar Heel land. Ruth Chris Invitational. Florida, 8-shot win over Auburn. Back-to-back victories for the Gators. Ingrid Lindblad, Latana Stone, they co-medal for LSU. Their 9-shot victory over Ole Miss, as we sort of go right to the SEC. Perfect segue of what team in the fall right now is the best in the Southeastern Conference. And I'm going to say, I think the Gators at this point, you win a couple of tournaments. Now, do they have the best man. 1 through 5?
I did not think you were going here, Virgo. I didn't think you were taking this.
If you ask me in May, I think it's different. But yeah,
right now.
Right now, Florida's winning. Mazie Filler wins, shoots 13 under. They're doing exactly what they should do in the fall. I think Auburn's got postseason experience. We always talk about a U.S. amateur or women's amateur hangover for Megan Scofield. I think LSU has the best lineup in the SEC. But I've said that the last couple of years, and they haven't found a way to do something at the national championships. And Ole Miss has reloaded pretty nicely, in my opinion, a couple of years removed from their national title.
Yeah, it's.
And oh, by the way, we haven't even mentioned South Carolina.
Well, I was just going to mention South Carolina. Although, what's the opposite of being a prisoner of the moment? I guess like it could be prisoner of the moment the other way around, but they just haven't they haven't played well the last two events. I think you got to maybe give them a mulligan because the final round of the blessings was canceled, so they had no opportunity to better that fifth place position after 36 holes. But when you win the Annika Intercollegiate in the field that we see year in and year out for that event up in Minnesota, that's a huge boost. But prisoner of the moment the other way, I'm gonna go with LSU because I think that they have the best player in the conference by far, and Ingrid Lindblad. They have maybe another top 5 player in the conference when she's on, and Latana Stone. They both share the individual medalist honors at Illinois tournament at Medina just a couple of days ago. So they've had two really solid tournaments, really good tournaments, and then one stinker at Vanderbilt. But again, there's so many great teams. I think, again, and you could say this for all of women's college golf right now, the top 10 teams in the country, they've all kind of had their moments of good and had their moments of not so good. But right now, if I'm predicting who's going to win the SEC title and make it the furthest at the NCAA championships, I think my money from my IRS tax return is on LSU.
Which means Mississippi State will beat Arkansas in the final, right?
it means, you know, Florida will beat Texas A&M 5-0.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about A&M. I mean, the SEC in women's college golf, 6, 7, 8 really strong teams. The conference used to be good at football. Now there's one really good team, one team that's still better than most think. And the rest of them I'm not sure about.
Everyone else stinks.
Pretty much in terms of what is expected as a fan, among other things. Looking ahead, good men's event just outside Atlanta. You're going to have Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Virginia, ETSU, A&M, Pepperdine. You know, it's not quite maybe a home course advantage for Georgia Tech, but they obviously know the Golf Club of Georgia very well. I'm intrigued by Tennessee. They had a really good team victory at Notre Dame's event. Strong final day. I don't know. I think that is a team that could slowly position themselves to be a legit top 7, 8, 9, 10 team in the spring. I really do.
I could see that.
All right, you're not buying it. You're not buying it.
Well,
all right.
The only reason I don't is because, again, fifth at the SEC fall preview, they dropped their match. And they haven't played the schedule that these other elite teams have played. I mean, they played a home event, which they ended up winning, which was impressive in and of itself because Caleb Surratt had the flu and had to be pulling off the golf course halfway through. And then they play Notre Dame's event, which not a great field. They win that. So this is going to be the week. I think this is the Golf Club of Georgia, typically one of the top maybe 6 or 7 events of the regular season. Traditionally, this is one of those where I could probably answer that or that question of whether I agree with you or not after this event. I have to see it again. Like I have to see it.
And then a friend of our podcast, Crystal Lamprecht, now number one in PGA Tour U.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see where he goes. I mean, obviously the resume is there, talented player. We talk about Sargent or Dunlap or Thor. I want to see this young man go out and win 2-3 times this season and truly say, yeah, you can put me in that conversation. I think he's on the cusp of it. He's had a wonderful 9 to 12 months. I don't want to hold him hostage with what happened at Greyhawk. Maybe it just was never going to suit his game. Fit
he
his
was in
eye.
A cage. Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was in a cage.
But I want to see him go out and do something. You know what I mean? Like truly make a big statement. And you can argue he has, and he certainly has. But I'm being greedy. I want to see more. How about that?
Are we giving him the win at the Hogan lost
the
records, playoff
the records. It's a perfect way to end this week because it's one of the most backwards things in
a college golf world that we
love that for people maybe that are just casual listeners to us, you could have three players tie for co-medalist honors. They're all 10 under par. Some events, they're all co-medalists. Some events, they have individual playoffs. Honestly, a lot of it comes down to travel of, hey, yeah, everyone's getting out of town or their weather issues. But you could have a playoff, lose that playoff, and still get credit for a victory. Then why have the playoff? I go back
good
a few
point.
Years ago.
Just don't have the playoff. They shouldn't do playoffs unless there's a PGA Tour exemption on the line, which there is, but – If everyone's not doing them, then if you do them, I have no issue with them awarding wins to both.
If memory serves, a few years ago, Cole Hammer won 3 times, 3 co-medalist honors, and was 0-3 in the playoffs. So taking nothing away from Cole, he didn't win 3 times, but the record books will say he did.
Well, and some schools do it differently. Like I think for the longest time, I remember Robbie Shelton had a couple of those playoff losses, and Alabama wasn't counting those in their media guide. And I think I had reached out to them and said, hey, like he has a couple more wins, just going based on the rules. But I don't know. I just say, just don't do playoffs. Like, just don't, like, if not everyone's going to do them, then don't do them.
But you hit on a key. You hit on a key point, and one of the great things as college golf continues to grow and get bigger, you now got 5, 6, 7 events throughout the course of the year, maybe even more, that have a PGA Tour or a Korn Ferry start going to the champion. So, it's like when we hear, oh, the Players is a fifth major, or, well, then you'd have to go in the record books and wipe everything. It's never going to change. I think it's just our soapbox of, you asked, should he get credit for a win? No, because he lost in the playoff to Cole Sherwood.
I respect that. Yeah. No,
opinion.
I get it. I mean,
there's no right or wrong.
This is like 7th on the priority list for the NCAA right now.
Yeah. Hey.
When it comes to college golf.
Let's get some rankings out in a few days that we can actually all make sense of.
Yeah. Now, that's the question, though. What does Spike Mark think about about playoffs? Is Christo going to get fewer points from the pot of points or no?
Which tip of the cap to what Mark Lash did for 30 plus years of figuring this out with Golfstat to become the standard of how really the whole season worked in terms of rankings, performance, strength of schedule. I'm the first to raise my hand. That's way too far down the rabbit hole for me to even digest.
Well, there's a good rule of thumb, I think, and it's when something, whether it's a product or a company or a service or anything, when the name is synonymous for like what you use it for, like Kleenex, then I feel like that's something where that has earned the right to do whatever it does and be in business for as long as it wants to. Like, so Golfstat was synonymous with college golf rankings and live scoring and schedule. Like you just said Golfstat and everyone knew what you were talking about, just like Kleenex, or I'm trying to think of some like Velcro. Is Velcro a company? I don't know, but
I think, yeah, I know what you're saying. Clorox. You don't say Clorox. Where's the bleach. You say, where's the Clorox?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or Coca-Cola, Coke.
Oh,
even though I like Pepsi better, I'll go on the record for that. So
whoa, that's a whole nother conversation for a different show.
Look, Pepsi is better than Coke. Every other Pepsi product is worse than the equivalent on the Coca-Cola side. I'll go with that.
So you've blown me away. Although I gave up drinking pop on a regular, and it is pop. My wife being from the Midwest, there's no such thing as soda. You have a pop, but I gave it up for Lent, like a decade ago. I'd have 2-3 cans every day, Diet Coke. And I just said, I don't need it. Now I will have an occasional soda if we get a pizza with the family and boys. Sometimes you just need to have a soda, but I drink my water, a little sparkling water from time to time. So when I do have that pop one or two a month, I'm like, boy, that just tastes good.
The best is after a long hot day on the golf course, going inside, having a sit-down lunch or something at the grill room or the clubhouse and getting an ice-cold fountain Coke. And normally it's Coke. And again, I don't hate Coke. I love Coke, but I should probably just stop talking in case Coke wants to sponsor the podcast.
Well, we're off the rails. We'll button it up for this week. Oh,
we're way off the rails. I need a Coke.
Catch it. Whoa. you've got me off the rails.
Yeah,
we just sort of knocked it out. We'll do it again next Wednesday or Thursday, right on the eve of me heading over to St. Andrews for our inaugural St. Andrews Collegiate. So we'll keep rolling right along. And as always, we appreciate everyone for tuning in and supporting us as they have. So until next week on College Golf Talk, for Brentley, I'm Burko. We will see you then.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.